It is such a blessing to be a part of that group. And the last, well, let me see, it was just actually since our last meeting, the last fellowship meeting that we were looking at, we had three songs that we were going to choose from. And we ended up obviously choosing that one. But then I kind of almost messed things up this morning in Sunday school because I announced it was the men's prayer meeting. Men that were going to come up and sing, and so I think I threw a monkey wrench into the works with a lot of you, like, is the senior singing? So, but all of the, it looked like a Chinese fire drill out in the foyer earlier, and I did it, it was my fault, but it all got together. Brother Tony was great, he got it all round up. Brother WT and some others were making it work, and Don, and so I appreciate you guys, but it all came across great. Amen, and what a blessing to hear that hymn, and to be able to be a part of singing it with you. All right, well, it's great to have you here today. It's always a blessing being in church. It really is. I mean, I never want to take it for granted. You know, I've been saved a long time, over 48 years, and never wanting to go to church before I got saved, and then always wanting to go to church after I got saved. So that was just a great transformation just on that point alone. It's just always been a blessing to be around the brethren. Yeah, we're certainly not perfect. We know that. God's, you know, what does that bumper sticker say, you know? I'm not perfect. God's still working on me, right? And so we're all being worked on, and we're, you know, we all have our little issues, but we work through those, and we ask the Lord to give us grace to work with one another. And so God's crowd is always the best crowd. And I want to say thank you to every one of you. You guys are such a blessing to me. All right, so our scripture reading was talking about in Acts chapter 8, we read verses 3 through 5, and that talked about how they went everywhere preaching the word because there was some persecution going on, and so the word got spread. And I'll make mention of that, and I want to talk about spreading the word today. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 28. We're going to read the Great Commission at the end of that chapter. But I want to say, so you want to have that, you know, put a marker, one of your Bible markers right there. But we're going to start off in Acts chapter 1, and I'll be in Acts chapter 1 in just a little bit here. In Acts chapter 1, we'll start reading there. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, He offered the kingdom to them. He came and said, I'm your Messiah. But we know what happened. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. There in the book of John, chapter 1, I believe that's verse 11. So he comes unto his own, and the nation of Israel rejected him. Now, we know that not every single Jew rejected him. There were many Jews that had trusted in Christ. But as a whole, as a nation, they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And that rejection had played itself out. The Jewish rulers and a mob of unbelieving Jews. Remember, they cried out when Pilate was up there and they said, crucify him, crucify him, and let Barabbas go free, who was a vile man. He was a thief and a murderer, and they got what they wanted. The Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. But folks, we know, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, we know from the Word of God that death could not keep hold of our Savior. Amen? We see that in Scripture. We've seen it in Scripture. We know it personally that Jesus is no longer in the grave. But He is our risen Savior. He lives in our hearts. And it's a great thing to be able to speak to somebody along those lines and to be able to say, hey, I serve a risen Savior. That Savior is alive, and He lives inside of me. What a great thing that we have to be able to say that. It says in Revelation 1:18, and I'll just read this verse, I am He, the Lord Jesus said, I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, after the Lord Jesus Christ arose, for 40 days He stayed on the earth, and for, of course, He was back and forth. I mean, it wasn't the whole time. He went to the Father, and we won't go into all of that, but then He was there. He was, for 40 days, He appeared to the disciples, and some 11 or 12 times, He revealed Himself to those disciples. some in smaller numbers, some in larger numbers. And it came time for the Lord to ascend to heaven. And he was gathered together with his disciples. And so we take a look here in Acts chapter 1, and let's take a look at verses 6 through 11. And then at that point, we'll end up going over to Matthew chapter 28. But here in Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 11, it says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." So they're there. He's giving them some instructions. He's encouraging them. And then they get to see him ascend to heaven. What a sight. Amen. What a sight that must have been as they watch him go up. And of course, there were those that spoke to him, those angels. They spoke to him there in verse 11. "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? He said, This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go up into heaven." So they watch him ascend up into the Father. But we're going to take a look at what he says to them maybe a few days before that when we go now to Matthew chapter 28. Now, Luke says that where he ascended up from was Bethany, okay? What we're going to look at here in Matthew chapter 28, this is taking place up in Galilee. So it's probably a few days before this, and he's going to give them the Great Commission. So in Matthew chapter 28, let's take a look at these verses here. And it says in verses 18, 19, and 20, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore," he says, "go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So in these instructions are some things that the Lord made available for his disciples. He gives them some instructions. And knowing that this Great Commission was given to them, it was meant for us as well. Amen? And so we're going to see what he has made available to us today in this Great Commission. What he has made available. So the title of my message is Spreading the Word and God's Availabilities. He's given us some availabilities. With that, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you for the opportunity. What a blessing, what a privilege it is to gather together as an assembly of believers. Thank you that we can come to church and we can enjoy one another's presence. And Lord, we thank you that you've saved us. And for those of us that do know you, it is a blessed time to gather together and have that fellowship, and we can sing unto you. And we can hear the specials that were sung. I thank you for the seniors that sang that. And Lord, it was just a blessing to be able to be a part of that. And Lord, we thank you now that as we look into your word, Lord, you've given us some specific commandments, the Great Commission to go and take the word. The word of the gospel, the word of grace, your word to lost sinners. Someone brought it to us, and we thank you, Lord, that you allowed that to happen, and you used it to do a work in our hearts and to bring us under conviction, and then to ultimately bring us to Christ. Lord, we do pray that if there is somebody here without Christ, that you'll work in their hearts and show them that they need the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not something that we can force, and we don't want to try to do that. But Lord, we look unto you to do your work. We ask the Spirit of God to do that work of conviction upon the hearts of those that may be here without Christ. We love to see them get saved today, and so we lift them up unto you. And now, Lord, we pray that as we hear this great commission that you gave to the disciples, may it speak to our hearts about what we are accountable for. Lord, help us to do what you've called every one of us to do, to be faithful, to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray now that as we look at your word, and Lord, I pray that you'd speak through me, help me again, not to be in your way, but that you'll be able to do the work that you want to do. And we pray for Christ to be glorified, and we ask it all in his name. Amen. So we have this opportunity to spread the word. And sometimes we're not always so faithful to do it, but God has commanded everyone to do it. I hope you haven't fallen into a trap that it's only for some and not for all, because the Bible says that we're all to preach the gospel to every creature. It's not just for a missionary, it's not just for an evangelist, it's not just for a pastor, but it's for every one of us that we're to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here, as we read this great commission that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to him, the first thing that he brings up in regard to this, the availabilities, the things that God has given to us, is first of all, his power is available to us. His power is available to us. There in verse 18, and I'll read that again, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me, and in heaven and in earth." The Lord Jesus Christ has all authority and he has all power, but it is his plan to give it to those that will serve him. He gives it to his children. Amen? Amen? Let's make sure that we understand that very, very clear. We're called to witness and to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. That little verse that I read just a little earlier was Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, which says, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're to be faithful to do that, but we need to understand that we must have power in order to do so. We need to have God's power upon us. That power is found in a person, and that person, of course, Jesus Christ has all power, but that power now is in the power of the Spirit of God as he lives inside of us. We have the Spirit of God living in us, and we read that there in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, that through his power that he can work through us. We know how frustrating it is when we're out of power, when the power goes out, maybe at home you get a blackout, or maybe you're driving along and all of a sudden, the car goes out, or you've got a dead battery, or something takes place like that. That's not very, very a fun thing to deal with, is it? Not to have any power. I was greatly reminded about that as we're out on our property right now and we're getting things done and the house is being built and it's exciting. But right now the project at hand is to try to get the power to the house. We're talking about power, right? And so they came out and I think they told us one thing one day and then it changed it the other. It's like, why didn't we get this information before? All right, I don't want to complain. I don't want to quench the Holy Spirit, all right? We're told to do all things without murmurings and disputings. But Ezra had dug it all out, and, it was all set, put the conduit in for the electric to come through, and then we find out, no, it has to be another 8 feet away because it's too close to the gas line. So, okay, so we're out there, and it's a little cold these days, and so the top part of the soil is a bit frozen. And Ezra has this excavator, and so we start getting into all of this, and we got to kind of get close to where the pole's at, there's a pedestal there that the power meter, is going to go on, which they couldn't set the other day I won't go down that road again, all right? So we have to redig it, and now we're going to have to put the conduit a little further along. And Ezra's only able to get so close to that post, right? And there is a gas line down there, too, and he's trying to get close to that post with the excavator. And I'm over there with a pickaxe, and a hoe, and I'm trying to get right around that pole. And I tell you what, it reminds me, I'm watching him as I look over 6 feet from me, and I watch that bucket go in and take all that dirt out, right? And I'm over here just taking my little thimblefuls of dirt at a time. It's just kind of ridiculous. It's kind of like if you're out mowing the lawn and there's somebody on a rider mower and you're over with a pair of tweezers just pulling the blades of grass out one by one. That's what I felt like. I'm just trying to do my best, Ezra, and he's over there just plowing it out. I just felt like I had absolutely no power, but I had to do it that way. I'm trying to nibble around that post because he can't get too close. Folks, we all know what it's like when we find ourselves in a situation without any power. God doesn't want us to operate without power. He's provided power for us, and may we be faithful to just look unto the Lord to give us his power, because he wants to do that. That's, again, that the, in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, not by might nor by power, not by man's power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So understand that that power that God will give to us through his spirit as we tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, and many times this state, as I make this statement, many times this is so, that when we, I'll just read this again in this paragraph. So understand this, that the power that God will give to us through his spirit as we tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, many times, and that's what I'm going to put that word in there, is either strengthened or diminished by our personal lives. Now, not always, because God's word is God's word, and God can use his word in the hands of an unsaved person, and it can have all power if God chooses so. Now, A.W. Tozer said this, and again, I for the most part, I believe this is so. He said this, theoretically, the seed, being the word of God, should produce the same kind of fruit regardless of the spiritual condition of those who scatter it. But it does not work that way. The identical message preached to the heathen by men of differing degrees of godliness will produce different kinds of converts and result in a quality of Christianity varying according to the purity and power of those who preach it. Now, I believe, really, for the most part, I believe that that's so. Again, God can use, and I remember reading about David Brainerd was a missionary to the American Indians, and way back in the 1700s, and he was a young man who had zeal for the Indians, and he used a drunken Indian one time to interpret his message, and God used that vessel of a drunk Indian to do a great work in the hearts and lives of those that were listening, and many, many got saved. God can use an unsaved person, as I just said a little bit ago, and God's word, if he wants to be full of power, he can. But I think the statement that A.W. Tozer brings forth, and the statement I made just before that, is true to a good degree, that God is more likely to use us, to use you, to use myself, when we're yielded to him and when we're submitted to his power working through us. Again, God can do whatever he wants, but he's more inclined to use you and I as we yield ourselves to him. So I just want to make that point, because that is so important, that we would yield ourselves to the Lord and let him do this work through us. The Bible tells us very clearly that we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? So that is, again, for every one of us, we're to be filled with the Spirit of God. And why does he fill us? He fills us in order to be of service to him, so that we can be useful in his hands. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 18 and 19 says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So every one of us, we ought to be determined to simply yield ourselves to God so he can use us more fully. It ought to be your desire, it ought to be my desire to do that. And then let's take a look at what he says next here in that Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. He says, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He tells them to go and go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach all nations. Now, what he is saying there and what the meaning of all of that is to teach them about Christ and win them to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may be one to Christ come to know him as their Savior. I think of that story when the Lord called Philip to go witness to the Ethiopian eunuch, when he called him all the way out to Gaza, and he says this in Acts chapter 8, verse 36 and verse 37, as he had been witnessing to him, he joined him in that carriage, and the Ethiopian eunuch was reading out of the book of Isaiah, and he didn't understand. And Philip says, understandest what thou readest? And he says, how can I, except some man should guide me? And it says, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Can I be baptized? And Philip's response, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart. In other words, if you've put your trust in Jesus Christ, he says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And when he got confirmation, because you can easily see that that's what the Ethiopian eunuch had done, he said, yes, I have. I've put my trust. After I've seen him in that passage, I've put my faith and trust in him. He said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then they stopped that chariot, and they got out, and Philip baptized that eunuch because he had trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. I'm excited, as I mentioned, we're going to have a baptism not too far from now, and just in a couple weeks, and we'll see someone get baptized, and maybe we'll see some others as well. What a blessing it is to get saved and then to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Now, the second thing that we see here as we've looked in verse 19 is winning souls will be available. Winning souls will be available. The Lord gives us that opportunity to win souls. Now, we know that we don't win them. It's the Lord that does the work, but he uses us. He uses us as a vehicle. He uses us as a vessel to take the good news of the gospel and tell folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. So, knowing that he has given to us power to witness and to tell others the good news, well, what does he say to us now? He says, go ye therefore. He said that to those disciples. He says that to you and I. Go ye therefore. You know, we put tracks there in the foyer table, and tracks that, you know, we can grab and put them wherever you can put them, wherever they're going to be found, because they've got the Word of God in them. They've got the seed so somebody can read it. Now, maybe we have opportunity to take that track and then to be able to follow up with maybe some conversation. You know, we try to do that as we go and knock on doors. I was out a couple weeks ago with Brother Reg, and he'd done that many times in the church that they had been at before. And it was great to get out with him. And, of course, it's great to get out with any of the men. But we look for that opportunity. We introduce ourselves at the door, and we mention who we are and where we're from and how we want to invite them to church, and we hand them a track or we hand them a door hanger. And then if we have that opportunity, we try to go a little further. Well, do you go to church somewhere? And we wait for their response. And sometimes where they go to church or the fact that they don't go to church gives you maybe an inkling as to maybe this person's not saved. So then, you know, we get an opportunity. Can I ask you something? Can I ask you a question? If you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you would be on your way to heaven? And that really gets the ball rolling. And some people will look at you and go, well, I'm pretty sure. Well, but are you absolutely sure? Well, I'm not so absolutely sure. Well, can I show you from God's word how you can absolutely know? So many times the door opens for us. And many of you know that. And what a blessing it is. Sometimes it's a little intimidating, right? Oh, no, the door's opening. I'm not sure what to say next. Well, that's when you just pray, Lord, help me. And the Lord will help you. He'll help you and I. And sometimes we can be dumbfounded. But when that door opens, it's a blessed thing to be able to give the gospel. I rejoice even when I've had the opportunity to give the gospel and they didn't get saved, to just walk away going, thank you, Lord. I know that that seed went out there. I pray that it'll get into that heart and it'll do something. And you just have to leave it with God because that's His work. Amen? And so it's a blessing. So we're told to go ye therefore. The early church was given that command there, as we read earlier in Acts 1:8. And I'll read that verse again. We read verses 6 all the way through 11. But verse 8 said this: "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And the disciples were faithful. They began to fulfill that commandment in regard to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was the city, and around that was Judea. And they had gotten the word of God out into that area. However, when it came to Samaria, and beyond that, unto the uttermost part of the earth, they began to drop the ball. And they hadn't gotten out as they were commanded to by the Lord. So then we read in Acts, so we read Acts 1:8 about how the Lord said that He would give them power to be witnesses. And they didn't completely fulfill that. So the Lord is going to turn things upside down on them. And so you can go from Acts 1:8 and you go to Acts 8:1. So let's just do that. In Acts chapter 8, and again, we read some of this in our verse earlier. In Acts chapter 8, in verse 1, we'll read verses 1 through 4. And Saul, of course, we know Saul of Tarsus eventually becomes Paul the Apostle. But not at this stage. He's a lost man. He's a Pharisee that's bent on chasing down these heretical Christians. They call themselves Christians, and he was after them. And it says here, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And that's speaking about Stephen, which happened the chapter right before this. And at that time, there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So now with this persecution, the word of God is even getting to Samaria as it hadn't before. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And so because of that persecution, the word of God began to be spread abroad. Many were getting saved, and many were getting baptized. And God was doing a great, great work. So beside what we need to do here, and that is to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, people that we work with, people that we know, people that we frequent in when we get our hair cut, when we go into the stores, people in our neighborhoods that we can pass tracts out to. We can also, beside all of that that God's called us to do, we can also do something that we do here as a church. We can also be part of making a commitment to give to, so that missionaries can be supported to go places where we're not able to go, but where others can hear the good news of the gospel. And it has just been a great blessing these last several years, and I just want to say thank you to every one of you. I don't know who's giving, because we do Faith Promise anonymously. And that's the way it's set up. But every year, it just plays out this way, which is an incredible blessing that we get an amount of a Faith Promise that's been pledged. And then we find out at the end of the year how much has actually come in. And in the last four, I might even be 5 years, I know four for sure, and maybe even five, that the amount that has come in has exceeded the amount that has been pledged. It has just been incredible. Last year, I'll say this, in the last 4 to 5 years, we've been able to support, the number was at 15, 16, we might have lost one, so I think it had gotten down to 15. And now, in the last several years, we've added on 18 more missionaries. We're at 33 now. Amen. And I don't say that, oh, look at that. No, that's what the Lord's doing. Amen. And it's to His praise. But what a joy it is to be able to take on more missionaries who are taking the gospel to, you know, Cambodia and taking it over to Hawaii or taking it up to Libby, Montana. By the way, I mentioned a couple of those places. We've got our missions conference set for April, and it's going to be from Wednesday the 23rd through the 27th. So I hope you'll mark those dates down, the 23rd through the 27th. And we're going to have a missionary that was in Poland for many, many years. His name is Brother Mike Wolski and his wife. They're going to be a part of this missions conference. They're at Treasure Valley Baptist Church right now, still serving the Lord faithfully. But I want him to be here. He's always been a blessing to me, Brother Wolski. But also, we're going to have Brother Spencer Baker and his wife and whatever family's going to come from Hawaii. And I'm looking at the Robinsons. You guys remember Brother... Oh, you remember Brother Chad Wells real well. Maybe you remember Brother Spencer Baker as well, too. But Brother Spencer Baker's been doing a great work, he and his wife and family in Hawaii, and they're going to be part of this missions conference. And then we've gotten to know Brother Dan Grover and his wife, Lindsay, and they are up in Libby, Montana. And they've started a church, and God's blessing it. And so I'm going to have him here as well. And they're going to be a real blessing to you. But so we've been able to take on, as I mentioned, a good 18 more missionaries than we had a few years ago. And just in this last year, our faith promise was pledged, I'll say this. Now, we haven't gotten to April yet, so I can't really give you a figure from April, from the missions conference to this April, because we still have a few more months. But I can give you the calendar year last year and give you an idea that it's going to be pretty similar to that anyway. We pledged 72,500-ish last year for Faith Promise, 72,500. And right at the end of the year, because we just finished the end of the year a month ago, we were bumping 80,000 came in. So like I said, it exceeded it by, you know, almost 8,000. So praise the Lord for that. Thank you for being faithful. Because many times, those numbers do fall off. I'm kind of getting into a little thing here about what the Lord's been doing, but it's exciting to also be a part of Faith Promise. So I'm just going to say this. I was kind of doing a little infomercial here, but be praying about this. Be praying about this conference that's coming up, because there's an opportunity for us to take on more missionaries and an opportunity for you, if you haven't been a part of Faith Promise. It's a great, great blessing. And speaking about, that opportunity, again, to win souls is available to us. And then when individuals come to know the Lord Jesus, then this third point opens up in this last point, as we're going to see here in verse 20. This last point opens up for us. In verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The third thing is discipling opportunities will be available, right? And they have been for us, but I would like to see them at a greater scale. But discipling opportunities will be available for every one of us. What does the Lord say next to his disciples? He says, teaching them. Now we're going to teach them. Teaching them what? Well, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Teaching them, as Paul spoke to those Ephesian elders about teaching the whole counsel of God. Teaching them, there's a whole vast amount of things that can be taught to every one of us. But that's what we do with somebody that's newly come to know the Lord, is to teach them, to help them to become grounded in the things of Christ. God wants us to instruct newborn Christians and those that are still young in Christ, those that are still young and new to the Word of God, to teach them, to help them to come along. Paul and Barnabas were all about that in that first missionary journey when you get to Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 36, it says this, that when they finished that first journey, Paul looked at Silas and he said, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. In other words, he wanted to go and to confirm and to strengthen those disciples in the word of God, to strengthen them, to get them in the word of God. That is something that you and I should, that should be our practice all of our Christian life, is to continue to stay in the Word of God. Let the Lord strengthen us so that He can use us. But look also for opportunities that we may be able to have to disciple some others. I want us to be able to have more and more opportunities to do that. And I want to say thank you to a number of you that are doing that. You're discipling someone else. Some of you are discipling several. And that is just a blessing to me. It's a blessing to sit with a younger Christian and to go over the things of God, isn't it? And to be a blessing to them. Sometimes it's done in a constructive, maybe with a constructive way is what I was trying to say. Maybe with a curriculum, maybe more formal with a regular meeting. Sometimes it's just done a little bit more informal, where you can get together with somebody and just go over and talk about the things of Christ. Go over and talk about the Word of God and be an encouragement to them to grow in the things of the Lord. Encourage them to be in church. Folks, ask God to help you this year to reach somebody, to latch on to somebody as they'll let you, and encourage them in the Word of God. That is a good thing to pray about. And I believe the Lord's going to give us more and more of those opportunities if we just simply submit ourselves unto Him, to these clear-cut commands that the Lord gives to His disciples. So in conclusion to all of that, we can't help but think, how good is the Lord to us in all of this? Amen. The Lord is so good to us. The Lord works in our lives, but He has brought people in our lives to be a blessing unto us. I think back on, and I'm going to bring it up tonight as we finish up 2 Timothy. Paul brings up a number of people to Timothy, and it made me think about how many people have crossed paths in my life, how many people I've come to know, brothers and sisters in Christ through the years, and how many of them were so used by the Lord to be a blessing to me. And I'm so grateful now. You know, most of the individuals that the Lord used when I first got saved, I'm not really in contact with any of them anymore. But that's kind of the way it is when you're talking about almost 50 years ago. But I think about the folks that have come in and out of my lives and how the Lord's used that. And may we be a blessing unto others. Just the fact, again, that He's willing, how good the Lord is, just the fact that how willing He is to provide all the things that we need to do the job. The Lord's given us everything that we need, all the tools, all the power. The Lord has covered all the bases, and He's made it available. He's made everything available to you and I to be a witness for Him. We have no excuses for failure when it comes to this side of the equation, because He has provided everything, folks. He has provided everything for you and I. And sometimes we think, oh, I just can't do that. I'm just not capable. You know, no, it would be you or myself saying, no, I just don't want to do this. I don't want to go try to get myself out of my comfort zone and tell somebody about the Lord. That is not an easy thing. Brother Jordan brought it up that he had heard from Brother Hiles, who was a great soul-winning, he encouraged soul-winning way back in the day, but even he himself said, I hate soul-winning. I really don't like to do it. You know why? Because you get a lot of rejection. You get a lot of people say, I don't want that. Why would I want that? You see people with the mentality of, I don't need to be born again. I was born good enough the first time. That's sad. But there's a lot of people, when you witness to them, they don't want to have anything to do with it. And how many of us like the sting of rejection? Don't raise your hand, because I'll be praying for you. Nobody likes that. No, we don't like that. So sometimes that keeps us from witnessing or telling somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's where we need to look to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Help me to have the boldness that I need to have. Because, folks, I can certainly relate to that. There's times when I look at somebody and, I look at Brother Stan. Maybe you've done that, too. You look at somebody and think, oh, man, that guy looks like he's 350 pounds, no fat on him, 6'7". I don't think he's a real good candidate for a witness. I just don't think he would ask the Lord, would want to ask the Lord into his heart. Sometimes we might look at something and size it up and think, yeah, that's probably not the best time to witness. Well, maybe it might not be. But we ought to look at every opportunity, right? And ask the Lord to give us boldness and use us. Sometimes we're just not willing to take the gospel to somebody. Sometimes we just put our foot down. But listen, we just need to let the Lord do his work in our hearts. Because one day, folks, we're going to give an account of how we serve the Lord. We're going to give an account of, you know, what we did in our Christian life. And a big part of that is, did we take the Great Commission and did we go out and try to fulfill that? At least to some level. Maybe you're here today and you haven't hardly witnessed at all. Let this be an encouragement to you. Look unto the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to be faithful. And I want to start giving out tracts or leaving them places. And then from there, maybe take it to another level where maybe I can begin to get into some conversations with somebody about where they're at with the Lord. Maybe just coming out and doing some door-to-door. You said, I've never done that. That's so intimidating sounding. Listen, maybe the Lord might encourage you to come on out and just watch it. It's a blessing to go out and to talk to folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. So I just want to encourage you today just to embrace these things that the Lord has commanded us to do. Let me just read this passage as we close. The Lord Jesus says here, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Folks, we have his power. And he's saying that power is given to you and I. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Let's tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and pray that they get saved. And when they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, praying that they'll follow along in believer's baptism. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then maybe looking for those opportunities to disciple and helping them and bringing them to church and kind of latching on, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let me just say this before we close and have a word of prayer, that maybe you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I mentioned it just a little bit ago that our greatest desire would be that you would get saved. And the last thing that we want to do, again, is to, you know, kind of buttonhole you or, you know, paint you into a corner. No, we want to encourage you. The Bible, Paul spoke many times about persuading men. And I would say if you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to persuade you to trust Christ as your Savior. I'm praying that the Spirit of God is working in your heart and showing you that you need Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can forgive you of your sins. He died on the cross for you so that you could be saved and have eternal life. And so that is our invitation to you, that in just a moment as we sing a hymn of invitation, that God would give you that courage, because it's not an easy thing to step out in the aisle and come up, and we'll show you from his word how you can be saved and how you can know you have eternal life. But brother and sister in Christ, if God's spoken to you about witnessing, about the great commission that he's given to us, then would you respond to him today? Let's bow our heads. And in just a moment, Vicki will begin to just start playing as she gets up there, and brother Jason's going to lead us in a hymn. Let's just be in a spirit and an attitude of prayer. Maybe God's spoken to your heart this afternoon. And maybe it's about this very thing. Now, maybe the Lord spoke to you about something completely different, because the Spirit of God can do whatever he wants, and he's able to do that. Then I would say simply respond to whatever the Lord is laying on your heart. But maybe the Lord is speaking to you about this particular thing that we've read about, the Great Commission, and about witnessing and telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then that would be a great, this would be the best opportunity right now to respond to the Lord and to follow his prompting and his leading. Maybe it's about needing to be maybe a more active witness. Maybe there's somebody in your family, maybe somebody close to you that maybe God has impressed upon your heart to reach out to them and to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe it's sending a tract or a letter and telling them how you're praying for them, how you want to see them get saved. Maybe it's some other form of communication, but maybe God's laid that on your heart. Maybe it's about folks in your neighborhood or somebody that you run across on a regular basis. Maybe that's somebody that the Lord wants you to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and give them a gospel tract. And if you're here without Christ, then we would love to see you get saved, and we would encourage you to to step out in the aisle as we have this hymn of invitation and come up to the front. We'll show you from the Bible how you can know that you have everlasting life. With that, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll go ahead and sing. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for the great commission that you've given to all of us. And Lord, I pray that you'll forgive me, because I know many times I've dropped the ball. There's many times when I had opportunities to witness, and I did not step forward and do what you had led me to do. But help us, help me to reach a higher percentage, to tell more people about Christ, to carry tracks on every one of us. Help us to carry tracks everywhere we go and look for opportunities. The time is slipping by, and I pray that you'll help us to take advantage of the opportunities that are before us. Lord, I pray for anybody here without Christ, that you'll work in those hearts. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.